from Wells Fargo, and he offers a free initial consultation.
Fox Sports Updates brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, and new dinner specials on Thursday through Saturday. And check out the great new golf shop.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Dan Beyer.
Two game fours tonight in Major League Baseball, the American League Divisional Series. Guardians and Tigers, 6:08 Eastern Time. Detroit's up 2-1 on that series. Yanks up 2-1 on the Royals in Kansas City at 8:08 Eastern Time tonight. One other baseball note to pass along. The Pollett family in Minnesota says that they are putting the Twins up for sale. Jets interim head coach Jeff Ulbrich has handed over play calling duties to passing game coordinator Todd Downing. Downing takes over the play calling from offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. Bills running back James Cook didn't practice today as they prepare for the Jets on Monday Night Football. No practice for Giants wide receiver Malik Nabers, while Patriots running back Ramondre Stevenson was also not seen on the practice field. But the Texans getting good news on Joe Mixon, who returned to workouts today after missing time with a sprained ankle. Week 6 starts tonight. Niners and Seahawks, 8:15 Eastern Time. Rafael Nadal announced that he will retire from professional tennis at the end of the year.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, and new daily specials. And check out the great new golf shop. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, this is your Agribusiness Update. The Food and Drug Administration reached a significant milestone when it approved its reorganization and created its new Unified Human Foods Program, one of the most significant in FDA history. The new model for field operations and other significant modernizations began October 1st. The FDA says it's focused on transforming the agency to be more efficient, nimble, and ready for the future with the ever-changing and complex industry it regulates. Congressional Democrats unveiled a bill that would pay livestock farmers on large operations to transition toward more climate-friendly practices. Agriculture Dive says the bill would use Inflation Reduction Act funding to provide farmers with grants to transition concentrated animal feeding operations into specialty crop or pasture-based livestock operations. The proposal comes as House Republicans look to move IRA funds earmarked for climate-smart agriculture to pay for other priorities in the farm bill. USDA's update to the Farm Service Agency's farm loan programs are officially in effect. These changes are designed to increase financial flexibility for ag producers, allowing them to grow their operations, boost profitability, and build long-term savings. USDA says the new rules will mean a low-interest installment set-aside program and flexible repayment terms. The new rules give farmers and ranchers better tools to manage their operations and get long-term financial stability.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov. Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Charles Payne, and this is the Fox Business Report.
A choppy trading session with stocks mixed after consumer inflation and jobless claims data came in higher than expected. Inflation did ease last month, but not as much as economists were forecasting, with consumer prices rising 2.4% in September from a year earlier. The fresh CPI data is seen as keeping the Fed on track to cut interest rates by 25 basis points next month. And Canada's TD Bank will be paying $3 billion in fines and other penalties as part of a settlement with U.S. regulators and prosecutors over charges that it failed to properly monitor money laundering by drug cartels. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
TD Bank created an environment that allowed financial crime to flourish. By making its services convenient for criminals, it became one.
As part of the agreement, TD Bank is accepting limits on its growth in the U.S. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
During Cybersecurity Awareness Month, LifeLock wants to give you helpful tips to protect your identity. Using multi-factor authentication can be a line of defense to help protect your personal information. But LifeLock offers comprehensive protection against identity theft. LifeLock not only alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information, but also fixes issues that arise, guaranteed or your money back. Protect your identity today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use my name, Clay, as the promo code. Terms apply.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Paso Robles Glass is exclusively presenting the new Milgard Trinzic Series windows and doors. If you're looking for a vinyl window frame that is contemporary with modern crisp lines, you'll love the new Trinzic Series from Milgard and Paso Robles Glass. Give your home a clean, sleek look with less vinyl and more glass to enjoy your view. Whether it's new construction or replacement, Paso Robles Glass has a window for you. And remember, they are the replacement window masters. Call Paso Robles Glass for your free in-home sales consultation for Milgard Trinzic windows and doors. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014. That's 238-4014 for Paso Robles Glass.
Get it fast, save some cash. Paso Glass is where it's at.
Well, I've got some beds that have a special cover.
This is Rich London, the mattress specialist in Paso Robles.
Not only is it latex underneath for comfort and springs for support, but the cover itself is about 5 degrees cooler than the normal mattress. So if you're sleeping hot, now's the time to come in and check these beds out, because they are not only comfortable, but they're nice and cool to sleep on. And the prices definitely are right.
The mattress specialist is at 13th and Riverside in Paso Robles.
Everything is on sale, so I urge people to come on down and take advantage.
Hi, this is Heather Bourdain, and I am excited to announce that I've joined Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers. I was born and raised right here in beautiful San Luis Obispo County. I have over 20 years of experience in the insurance industry, and I'd be happy to review your current program. Every day I work with contractors, farmers, garage owners, restaurant owners, and more. I would love to hear from you. I can be reached at 805-540-3900 or Heather at AdlerBelmontGroup.com.
I'm Renelle Baldwin, CEO and founder of Dignified Hope Care. Our company has been providing exceptional care to seniors across the Central Coast from Paso to Orchid for over 8 years. We are the only caregiving company to have all licensed care staff that are EMTs, CNAs, and medical assistants, along with having a nursing staff that can assist in medication management or nursing shift needs. Our company has expanded care needs to include post-op care for plastic surgery patients, new mother care, and now we have a red light therapy room in our downtown slow office on Marsh Street. This light therapy has been known to stimulate faster healing after surgery and illnesses. Quality and not quantity is how we ensure our patients are best cared for. Call us at 805-510-1234 or go to dignifiedhopecare.com.
Hi. Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs. Just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at WeHelpYouLegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
On the last broadcast, I suggested that labor leaders were conducting a kind of class warfare using some very questionable economic theory. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
On my last commentary, I criticized the AFL-CIO California Convention for adopting some resolutions which were actually hurtful to the men and women they represent. I spoke specifically on the false idea that business can be made to pay a larger share of the tax burden, thus relieving individuals. The truth, of course, is that business taxes are part of the cost of operation and must be paid by the customer in the increased price of the product. But the labor leaders in that California convention made other decisions equally harmful to their rank-and-file members. For example, they raised the old cry born of demagoguery that income taxes should be more progressive, making those with higher earnings pay a bigger share of the tax. Well, right now, at less than $10,000 a year, and I don't think many union members earn less, you are in the top 50% of income earners in the United States, and you pay 94% of the total income tax. At a little over $20,000, you're in the top 10%, and that 10% pays half the total tax. And if you're talking of the one-half of 1% who earn $50,000 a year and up, go ahead. Raise their tax to 100%. Take every dollar they earn, and it will run the government for less than 3 days. The delegates to that California AFL-CIO convention, I'm sure, were well-intentioned, but they made it clear they did not want a cut in government spending. They want more tax revenues to pay for that spending, and they don't seem to realize the only source of additional revenue is the great working middle class, which includes their own members, and which works now almost 5 months a year to pay for the cost of government. Finally, the other proposal the convention made was to gain more revenue from the capital gains tax. The delegates echoed the president's ill-considered charge that a reduced capital gains tax constituted a windfall for millionaires. Frankly speaking, the president was a little off base. It's hard to get great numbers of people excited about the capital gains tax. Very simply, it's the tax one pays upon selling for a profit something one owns. It is true, it affects mostly those who have savings to invest in stocks, land, or some other object. It is also true that capital investment is what fuels our industry and creates jobs. Our competitors in world trade, such as Japan and West Germany, even socialist England, have no tax on long-term capital gains. But it isn't true to say it affects only people of wealth. Half of all those reporting capital gains have adjusted gross incomes below $15,000. And more than half of the total amount of capital gains is reported by people with incomes below $25,000. In 1969, we virtually doubled the capital gains tax. In 1970, there were 31 million investors putting up the capital to increase production and create jobs. Today, there are fewer than 25 million. I wish today's labor leaders had the statesmanship of the American Federation of Labor Leaders in 1942, who demanded that the capital gains tax be reduced, if not eliminated, because it was preventing the investment of capital needed to create jobs for their members. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. It's the best place in this county for local investigative reporting. It's really the only place for serious investigative reporting. And we also cover the local issues. And we are back today. I have Debbie Peterson in the studio. Debbie Peterson is a prolific book writer. One of the books that she wrote is called City Council 101, An Insider's Guide for New Council Members. She has had a lengthy time in office. She was a city councilwoman and a mayor of Grover Beach. She stepped down at the time there was allegedly bribes taken. After she stepped down, the FBI did raid other mayors' houses, more than one. She is now running for city council in Grover Beach for mayor. But the primary reason I have her here today is she is pretty well one of the most knowledgeable people in this entire county on what is expected of a city council member. I also have Dave Nelson in the studio. Dave Nelson was involved in the referendum to stop the paid parking, and he was involved in the issues that some that are named in what we're talking about today, which is the lawsuit with Ty Lewis. It's not a lawsuit yet. Ty Lewis filed a claim for over $2 million against the city, claiming that he can no longer work here. He has lost his employment and he wants a payment to leave. By law, you can't sue a government body generally without filing a claim first. After they reject the claim, then you can file a lawsuit with the San Luis Obispo Superior Court. The reason we're here today, we did talk about the claims that were made and some of the issues yesterday. Today, we're going to get more into the drama involved. There is a ridiculous amount of information showing up on social media. They are attacking anyone that isn't supporting their side. For example, there have been things on social media claiming I took down a story written about Linda George, who is running for District 3 councilwoman. That was absolutely untrue. There was another story related again to Ty. They're talking about the issue with Ty Lewis, and then they're attacking Cal Coast News. They're attacking Linda George. They're attacking Mike Rivera, and people that are not big supporters of Ty Lewis. One of the things that happened back in November when I started covering the paid parking, I took the issue to Saro Rizzo, an attorney, and I asked him to look at the ordinance. I thought something was wrong with it, but I'm not an attorney. Well, Saro said, Karen, you're not right. That's not what's wrong with it, but this is not legal for two reasons. And it was basically they're required to have zoning in the ordinance. They took that out when they, in 2019, when they made it a legal ordinance. They also wrote in the ordinance, they didn't have to do it by ordinance as required by the vehicle code. Their ordinance said they could do it by resolution. So in the end, they had to stop the paid parking. But during this time, I contacted Ty Lewis and told him what Saro had said. He demeaned me. He was rude to me. I believe that in other cities, some of the behavior toward the media could cause you to lose your job. It's been that bad. Then we get into the parking payments, and I showed up, not the parking. Ty Lewis asked Councilman Chris Bausch to meet him at a coffee shop. I was there before they were. They sat right behind me, and they discussed. I didn't hear the entire conversation. I left after a while, but it appeared to be chastising Chris Bausch for not towing the party line and for saying the word staff report during a meeting, because that's demeaning to staff. As a reporter, when I write about an agenda, I say staff report repeatedly. It doesn't mean that you're disparaging everyone on staff, and it never has. After that, I got a series of very weird emails from Ty Lewis. He wrote me up and said, you weren't there, you're going on, and I know you weren't there. And I said, I was there. I was there before anyone else arrived. I was sitting at the table next to you. Then he wrote me another email. No, that's not true. You walked in with John Roush and someone else. And he said, I saw you walk in and sit with them. And I wrote back and said, no, I was there well before them, and I did not leave with them. And then it was, aha, got ya. You knew they were there. It doesn't matter. I wrote what he said during the meeting. He was in a public place discussing something. But for him to spend a long time writing emails angry that I overheard his conversation, I found very odd. And as many of you do know, one of his main allegations in this lawsuit is that Chris Bausch, he alleges, was giving closed session information to me, primarily from an April closed session meeting. And I'm gonna now go to Debbie Peterson. Thank you for being here today.
My pleasure. Hello, Karen.
And I want to first go over this closed session issue. So I think it was April 16th. They had a closed session meeting, and it was described something like discussing the resolution or the referendum. And the referendum had been handed in, the signatures handed in. And following the meeting, they got hold of Dave Nelson and John Roush. And they said, we want you to come in the morning to discuss this. And David, can you give us a synopsis of what they told you they were going to do at that meeting?
I don't know if my mic's on. So anyway, there was just a discussion with John and I about reconsidering the paid parking issue. Of course, because we were already collecting signatures at that time.
And they told you they weren't going to accept it.
Well, that came later, but in any case, they've told us already that they weren't going to consider it.
Okay, now when you removed the mic, it stopped working.
Sorry.
I don't know what happened to it.
I don't have any headphones, so I can't tell if you can hear me. I'll move over here.
Yeah, and I will, after the next break, I'll make sure that's working, and I'll get you headphones.
So in any case, John and I were the liaisons with the city on the referendum, so I, despite that we didn't need to, I gave them a copy of the referendum, and they were talking to us about it. You know, they told us that there might be some issues with it when we started collecting signatures, and keep in mind, we only had 19 days to do that, so.
And in the end, though, they also told you at this meeting they were going to get rid of paid parking anyway.
Yes. Well, that was even at a public meeting when, on May 7th, the same day that Ty Lewis had his incident. He fails to mention that in his thing. It was within minutes after the paid parking was repealed.
But yeah. Before that, when you met them on, I think it was April 17th, because the allegations by Ty Lewis is that he has a lawsuit against the city and against Chris Bausch, because he claims that it was Chris Bausch who told me about what happened when you met with the city manager, the city attorney, and the city clerk recorder. And instead, it was John Roush who called me following your meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
And basically, though, and this is to you, Debbie, once you vote, so the city council goes in there and they talk about the referendum. I don't know what they said in the closed session meeting, but they agreed that after the meeting, they would allow it to become public to these two, to, you know, Dave Nelson and John Roush. I talked to Stu Jenkins. He said once you take away the veil of privacy and you say, okay, we're going to make this public, you can't say we're going to make it public to these five people, but not these five people. Is that correct?
Well, I'm never going to say say anything against what Stu Jenkins says, but public is public. And I don't see how you can say public is only public to certain people and not others. My question would be, why was it in closed session in the first place? I don't understand. Was that something you requested, Dave?
No, and I brought this up with them in the public session, and they said, well, because it was a potential litigation if they rejected our petition that we might sue the city. So they tried to fail it in their private.
Did you ever, though, you had to make an allegation that you were going to sue.
Well,
did you ever tell them? I don't think they had a right to be in closed session
and that's what I told them. Yeah.
Well, good for you, because if you said we would like this to be heard in open session, then I can't understand why they would have been holding it in closed session.
Well, they try to do a lot of things in closed session, and then I also told them, and I've said this in the past, closed session is fine, but if there is pending litigation or potential litigation, the parties know publicly that it's potential litigation. You should at least list the parties.
You must.
They just say potential litigation. They won't even say who the parties might be.
Because you weren't making threats of suing.
Right.
You need to talk directly into the mic, and we'll get your mic fixed after the break, because they can't hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, these are okay. And we'll make sure we get that one working on the next break. So they probably shouldn't have had this as a closed session anyway, but also I don't know how it, even let's say it was true and that it wasn't made public and Chris Bausch is the one, which he isn't, that disclosed it to me. I don't think that's a lawsuit by Ty Lewis.
No, I don't understand where he's even getting that, if that is where he's coming from.
Now, one of the other big issues that Ty Lewis is going after is he's claiming that Chris Bausch asked him about allegations that he had been, he calls it sex parties. But for those who do not remember, years ago, Cal Coast News wrote a story about Lisa Solomon that ended up, she lost her job over it. And what had happened was, there were officers that came to Cal Coast News. And I will tell you, one officer actually started to cry. And they talked about the chief grabbing their, private parts. And grabbing them and doing it in front of others. There was even talk where the leadership, the higher level policemen, they all went down to Carmel for a team building workshop. And during that workshop, there was a point where the chief said, let's go finish this out in the hot tub. So they went and got their bathing suits on. And the one officer says she grabbed his privates out of his pants in front of everybody else and started trying to stroke him. He got out of the hot tub and jumped in the pool, and she went after another man, allegedly. In the end, three officers spoke to Cal Coast News about this misconduct. This is not an issue that is not well known to many people that were involved in the police department in the past. And I will tell you, I spoke to someone yesterday. This is yesterday that I had never spoken to this about this in the past. And they informed me that they worked for the police department in the past. And when they worked there, they were told, we are having an event out at this house. And we're told to go, like a department party. They went to the event at the house. They told me the first thing that happened is Lisa took all her clothes off and jumped in the pool. They said Ty jumped in the pool afterwards. And a number of people started taking their clothes off. And this person said they left. There is a lot of talk in this community. And there are a lot of people that work for the department that made these allegations. And at this time, remember, Ty Lewis was a lieutenant in the department. And then after that, while he was the chief, there were allegations that an officer was raping women during that, I found you have pot. There were these allegations. I have spoken to probably 10 women who claim they were sexually assaulted by someone on the police force. There was sperm found in one of the complainants' house during an investigation, and the officer lost his job. So there's a lot of allegations of sexual misconduct with the police force while he was a lieutenant and the chief. Now, Debbie, this question's for you. Would it be appropriate if someone went to Chris Bausch and said, I have concerns with your city manager. He was around when there was a sexual misconduct. Would it be inappropriate for Chris Bausch to ask him about that?
I think it would be inappropriate for any of the council members hearing something like that not to ask him about it.
Thank you, Debbie. We're going to take a word from our sponsors and be back with more with Debbie Peterson and Dave Nelson. Look at this.
You know, I was very pleased with not only the repair done by Davis Body Shop, but also their professionalism. Jason was courteous and explained the work to be done in clear terms. I was sent regular texts to keep me up to date on the progress of the repairs, and the job was finished in the time schedule he'd estimated. I would recommend Davis for any auto body work that needs to be done.
Nobody says it better than Ann from Paso Robles when she tells her story about her experience at Davis Body Shop. We've been telling you for over 50 years about Davis Body Shop, why we're the longest established auto body repair shop on the Central Coast, offering a lifetime warranty on repairs. Discover the Davis difference at Davis Body Shop, El Camino Real, Atascadero, or on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet. Online, davisbodyshop.com.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
We see you there, stuck in traffic, maybe a cubicle, daydreaming about an escape, a place where infinite horizons mean more freedom. We're going big this October at Chumash Casino Resort, giving away over $500,000 in cash and prizes. That's something. Everything you need to find yourself elsewhere. Drawings every Sunday, earn entries now. And hey, welcome to freedom. Must be present to win. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When it comes to sustainable energy systems and service, Central Coast residents trust Solarponics. Barry from Cambria says, quote, Bill's presentation was great. He displayed an admirable depth of technical understanding of the system he was presenting. It was a pleasant experience. Thank you, Barry, for your Google review. When we install a sustainable energy system, we're installing 47 years of admirable displays of technical understanding. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Attention Central Coast homeowners, it's time to schedule your solar panel cleaning. Spring and summer are maximum solar energy production seasons. Dirty panels can decrease production by 20% or more. Make sure your panels produce the most energy and save you the most money. Visit solarponics.com to get your solar panel cleaning quote. While you're at it, ask us about battery backup and storage. Get more out of your solar energy system. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Well, Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. We did do a story years ago back in 2012, and you can actually type this in and see it. Police chief accused of sexually assaulting her officers. And in the beginning, they claimed it wasn't true. After an investigation, she left the city.
Wow.
And there was a lot of information that it was true. You can still go on to Cal Coast News and read the article. And so, Debbie, you think that that's his, if you have concerns and people are coming to you about the city manager, you believe it's your job to then go talk to the city manager about the allegations?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay,
My microphone's not working now.
No, yours is not working. Yeah. Boy, this is... Well, no,
why there we go. Okay. Is that better now?
You're on.
There
you're
we
on.
Go. I'm just a little bit unplugged.
We were trying to get things moved around in here, and we made a few little mistakes, but we're now
testing,
good.
Testing.
We're plugged in.
Okay, we're all on.
And so one of the things that is also very, very interesting that is going on right now is the amount of nastiness on social media. And I will tell you, I'm not on Nextdoor, but I probably had 24 emails to me with statements by people arguing that Ty Lewis is a great guy and then claiming that I don't even write my story. Glenn O'Hagan writes them. No, Glenn O'Hagan is one of about 30 people that if he passes an accident, he will take a picture and send it to me. That does not mean he is an investigative reporter for Cal Coast News. He is not an employee. But again, this is an attempt to demean Cal Coast News. They're also attempting to demean people running against the current council. There's also a lot of talk about Ty Lewis is very involved in who he wants to be elected. Now, Debbie, that's a question I want to ask you. Should a city manager be talking about who people vote for in the election?
Absolutely not. City managers should be remaining completely out of that. And having read his posts, it does sound very much to me like he seems to be not so much campaigning for who he likes, although that sounds like the intent, but he means to be keeping out those who he doesn't like. Totally out of line.
Well, yeah, and again, if you don't have to say, I want you to vote for this person, but this person's awful. And again, remember, in his claim, he demeans Mike Rivera. He demeans Linda George. The two opponents to the incumbents are mentioned repeatedly. And I want to tell you how I applied for the claim. You know, I learned about the claim. I didn't learn specifically about the claim. I had a debate with the three candidates for District 1. And during the break, Sharon Roden told me, I'm not involved in a claim against you. Well, first of all, you can't do a claim against me. Claims are made against public entities. I am not a public government entity. You have to do a claim against a government entity before you file a lawsuit. That is what that is. But I immediately said, I want all claims going back 3 months. And
that was a public records request.
I did a public records request, and I got a copy of the claim. And I'll tell you, it was also a little fishy the way they sent it to me. I applied for it, and my first email came back that I couldn't get it through. And then I got the next email the next day. They wrote me back and said, we'll do this in 10 days. They literally waited 10 days to like 10 minutes before 10 days, 5 o'clock hour on the last day to send this. The Public Records Act does not say, take your time. Send it out as soon as possible. You have up to 10 days to get it together. But case law has shown if it's something simple, there's no reason to take the 10 days.
Yeah, 10 days is not a get-out-of-jail-free time. 10 days is the very maximum you can take. But the law clearly says, or as you say, case law clearly says, They need to respond as quickly as they can.
We are going to take our top of the hour break, and we're going to start really going over what's been said on social media.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.